Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm Jerry O'Lennon. I'll be your host from now until the top of the hour. Joined by Gidi Hansen, a licensed marriage and family therapist over at The Growing Place. The last few weeks, we've been discussing gratitude. Not just expressing it and saying it, but showing it. And why it makes the lives of all of us better when we actually take the time and spend the energy to do that. Sometimes I go out on a limb when I'm talking because I throw my own philosophies in here, and sometimes they're right and sometimes they're wrong. Sometimes it's like, well, that makes sense. Sometimes it's like, no, you're completely off base there. Good morning, Gidi. How are you?
Fine.
I say that because I'm going to go on a limb here,
and, okay.
And I think I might go on to something here. I don't know, because our next quote is from Johannes Gartner, an art history professor. Back in 1996?
He died in 1996.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but he said this obviously much earlier than that, I believe, and at some point in his life. Gartner wrote, "To speak gratitude is courteous and pleasant. To enact gratitude is generous and noble. But to live gratitude is to touch heaven." And it made me, the first thing I thought about when I heard this was the last part of it. To live gratitude is to touch heaven.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of the Lord's Prayer. I always think about that. I think about this a lot. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That we're supposed to try to create heaven on earth is kind of the way I've always viewed that. And that we need to try to create, that God is asking. So what I'm hearing is, live gratitude is to touch heaven, is to kind of try to bring heaven to us in some way here on earth. By showing gratitude, it creates an aspect of heaven on earth. Is that right?
Well,
no. See, I knew it. I was
No. I'm no expert.
Uh-huh.
But it was just one thing you said. We are supposed to create heaven on earth.
Or try.
The way I look at it is, I offer myself to God, and He can use me to do whatever He wants, but He's the creator.
Right. Okay.
He's the one who's going to create something through me.
So
and I'm His clay. I'm whatever vessel He wants me to be. But I think the idea is sound, what you're saying, that, you know, God wants heaven and earth to become one, and it will.
Mm-hmm.
And heaven is the enactment of God's will, not my own.
Okay.
Or other people's will. Heaven is thy will be done on earth as it already is being done in heaven.
So whatever your will is for me, that's my mission.
Yes.
Whatever you choose it to be.
Yes.
But the ultimate goal of creating kind of a heavenly, putting heaven and earth.
And you know, people who have lived this out were like the Dietrich Bonhoeffers.
Mm-hmm.
And heaven was with them wherever they went. I mean, they really had merged. They had, and I'm not saying they were without sin or they were perfect, but they had heaven was living its life out through them.
Right.
And so this is a very interesting quote. Let's take the first part. To speak gratitude is courteous and pleasant. And in the Iranian culture, we have a lot of courtly language that's in everyday language. And if I were to translate some of this for you into English, it would remind you of Shakespeare or maybe even older English.
Mm-hmm.
It's very gracious language. It's very courteous, very pleasant. But it doesn't mean that the person using that language is necessarily living their lives according to that language. And I think that's what Gartner is getting to here. So we can say gracious things, we can express gratitude through our words, and that's good. To enact gratitude is generous and noble. So in other words, what you've been saying for weeks and weeks now, it's not enough to just say thank you. You need to do something reciprocal. You need to show that you're grateful in some outward and visible way.
Mm-hmm.
But he adds, but to live gratitude is to touch heaven. So what does that mean to you, to live gratitude?
Well, the first part, and let me just make sure we dissect it right. The first part is, again, exactly what we've been saying. You know, it's very easy. It doesn't take much effort to say thank you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even take a whole lot of effort to write a thank you note and send it to them. That takes a little bit of effort.
Well, that's still an outward sign.
So, yes, okay, it is. But I mean, to actually to enact gratitude takes some effort.
Okay.
And I think effort is important. I think I think when somebody goes out of their way to do something to show you gratitude, it means much more than somebody merely saying thank you. And in fact, some ways, if somebody just says thank you, it's almost like it almost doesn't mean as much.
Know which kind of circles you're hanging out with, because a lot of people in the American culture have even forgotten to say thank you.
Yeah, it might be true.
You know, you go to the store, you give them business, you give them your money. I end up saying thank you because I feel there should be something in this exchange. Somebody should be grateful. It's obvious you're not, so I'll be. And I'll say thank you, and then they'll say, no problem.
I'll tell you what, I can't believe you said there is a convenience store. I won't mention where it's at, but it almost became where almost on a once or twice a week, my drop take my son to
oh, school. No, is this donuts again?
It's a donut. Oh. He likes to have a donut once in a while. I'll give him a treat. Not very often, but it's a treat.
Okay.
So we go to this, and the clerk is the same clerk, and the clerk says, gives me this thing, and I'm waiting for a thank you. And she will never say thank you. She just won't say. It's almost become like a test of wills. And so I said, I'm never going to say thank you because it's not my job to say thank you because I'm giving you the business. It's your job to say thank you. So we never actually said it, but this particular young lady and me had sort of this, I'm going to take a break. It's actually very comical because neither one of us would say thank you because it just became a test of wills. It's actually very funny. We're going to take a break and we'll continue our discussion about saying thank you and then showing thank you and then living gratitude and living thank you and how that touches heaven when we do that. We'll continue our chat after this.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is live local talk.
So wake me up when
he's all right, I'm going to ask an expert. Edie Hansen is the...
I am not an expert.
You're going to be for now. A licensed marriage and family therapist. For the better part of 3 months, 4 months, every week I'd go to a particular convenience store and get a treat for my son on his way to school. And maybe I'd get a cup of coffee, buy him a treat. And I would hand the money over. And it's the same clerk. Every single time it's the same clerk. And she would never say thank you. She'd just hand me over the money. And I would say, thank you. And she would say, no problem. She wouldn't even say, have a good day. Nothing. Just, there you go. And then finally I thought, well, she needs to say thank you. So I never said thank you. So I just handed her the money. And then she handed me the change. And I walked out. Not even a goodbye. And I thought it was incumbent on her, since I was providing the business to the place of business, that they should say thank you. And for whatever reason, at some point I wanted to say something and say, why don't you ever say thank you? And I came really close to that point. But I said, you know what, the heck with it. You know what? And what is the proper way? And this is such of a small thing.
This is what I do. I think somebody should say thank you to me over and over again, they don't. I just, when they give me something, like I give them the business, they give me my change, I go, you're welcome. And I just walk out.
I did that too.
Yeah. But I try not to do that because there's a sarcasm
in
there.
Yes, there is.
And it's not, it's a correction and a sarcasm. So I just go, you know what? I'm grateful for what I just bought. I'm grateful I had the money to buy it. And, you know, this person probably never grew up with anybody modeling thank you for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so who cares who says it? I'm grateful. I'm happy. I got what I wanted. And I'm going to say thank you.
Well, it's interesting because we got into this discussion because we say to speak gratitude is courteous and pleasant. And I had suggested that it's actually very easy to say thank you.
But not necessarily, not in this culture.
And you reminded me of that situation with this convenience store and getting a treat for my son. Where this, the course of 3 to 4 months, this person just would not say thank you, and I gave them the money and the business. So sometimes it's not always easy for people to say thank
you.
No,
and people can misread the thank you. You know, I have a grateful heart, thanks be to God. Mm-hmm. And when I say thank you, sometimes people look at me suspiciously, like, what do you want? Why are you kissing up?
Yeah.
Why don't you stop that?
Yeah.
All I did was open a door for you. What's the matter with you?
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm just like, sorry, I'm grateful. I mean, yeah. I can't help it.
Yeah.
You know, it's so strange.
And that kind of thing starts at the root, doesn't it, when you're young?
Yeah, it does. They have to learn it in their families.
Uh-huh.
Or if they haven't, then that's time for re-education,
right,
where we learn it later. But let's talk for a moment. To live gratitude is to touch heaven. What does it mean to live gratitude?
I would say my guess is it's part of your existence where you don't have to think about it.
Oh, that's great.
On a conscious level. It's just natural. It just comes out natural.
Oh, I think that's a beautiful, beautiful way of saying it.
I have my moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. I think if you live something, you don't even have to think about it. It just comes natural.
Yeah, and that's heaven touching earth.
Yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
What a great thought. Well, I like that.
So that's accurate. I got the right answer there.
Well, I don't know about right and wrong, but I love it. I love your answer. So let's go on to another quote by that famous person, Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Gratitude is riches, complaint is poverty.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, that's probably a pretty easy one to figure out. I mean, well, no, go ahead. I mean,
I can just tell you personally, when I'm complaining, I am in poverty.
Yeah.
I can have all the blessings in my life. You know, more than in human history, we are enjoying blessings in this country. And yet one little thing annoys me and I'm complaining and it's like I'm forgetting everything else. And suddenly I'm reduced to this person that lacks.
So when you complain about something, when you shouldn't be complaining, it almost nullifies all of the good things that you have in your life.
It trumps it. It just, you know, fills your brain.
It takes the riches that you have, and by complaining, it kind of just mars them and takes all that the wonderful possessions that you have and makes it seem like they're not really there.
Or loved ones, or let's say, you know, you're one of your children or grandchildren or your spouse or close friend does something annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And it awakens a complaining spirit inside of you. You know, I know when that happens with me, I just try by God's grace. I don't always succeed, or sometimes it takes me a while to remember this and wake up to it. I try to take a step back and remember, this is the person I love.
Yeah.
You know, what am I going off on this in my heart? And if it's really that important and that it's bugging me, I should just bring it forward to this person, or I should just let it go.
Yeah, you know, it kind of goes back to the previous quote, really, of Gertner again, where we talk about, and I think this is the most important one, really. No, I'm backtracking a bit, but to live gratitude is to touch heaven.
Yeah.
To where it become, and how does it become to where you just live it, where it becomes natural, where you don't have to think about being gracious, showing gratitude. And again, it made me think about that story you told about the man who was complaining about being in a ship.
Yes.
He complained. They finally threw him overboard.
Yeah.
He says, let me back. And he's like, gosh, I'm really great. I'm not going to complain about being on the ship anymore.
Right.
We do that in our lives in different ways. You complain about a job you have. Oh, no, this job is hard, killing me. It's hard. I don't like it. Da, 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 da. I don't like the days. And I find myself doing that. And I says, I got to show gratitude, because when you don't have the job, I just got thrown off the boat.
Exactly.
Let me back on the boat.
Right.
And so I kind of get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to take a break. We'll continue our discussion. Gosh, it's going so fast.
Yeah.
We'll continue our discussion with Gidee Hansen about gratitude. Gratitude is riches. Complaint is poverty. We'll be right back.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Final segment today with Gidi Hansen at The Growing Place, a licensed and marriage family counselor and therapist, I should say. And her office number is 588-0448. She handles all kinds of issues, family issues, marital problems, people who are struggling with certain types of addictions. The Growing Place, they're located over on East Avenue. And you could find out more about them at tgplace.org, tgplace.org. And we've been talking about gratitude and the importance of showing gratitude and being thankful for what we have instead of focusing on what we don't have, and not just being thankful or being,
but living it.
Gratitude, showing gratitude. And I think we took it to another level where we're trying to say where gratitude is embedded inside of you.
Yes.
It's inside of you where you don't even have to consciously think about, well, I better be grateful for what I have here, where it just comes out naturally.
Right.
Sometimes that might take time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's changing a part of your culture inside of you.
Well, here's a quote that's going to help shift a lot of people's thinking. Mm-hmm. I know it helped to shift mine. This is, again, by that famous person, Anonymous. Mm-hmm. If you cannot be grateful for what you have, be grateful for what you do not have.
Okay. I think I get that. Be grateful that you don't have something
really bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm more grateful for that than I am for what I have.
Well, that's okay. That's another form of gratitude.
Yeah. I mean, I think about this almost all the time. I mean, and usually it comes because I see somebody else's sorrow.
Yeah.
And I hate that. I hate it. I hate having to thank you, God, that I'm not in his shoes. Thank God that that didn't happen to me. And I think about that a lot. I think we probably all do. Thank God. I mean, sometimes I'm more grateful for the bad things that haven't happened in my life, and I am grateful for the good things that happened in
my
life.
That's very interesting. You know, if I see someone who's suffering, I often just pray for them. It's a horrifying thought to think, wow, what if that happened to me? But from time to time, I do have thoughts like that.
But is it bad to have thoughts like that? Aren't you kind of, isn't it, well, as long as the thoughts are directed toward God and saying, please help this person.
As long as they're not obsessive, intrusive.
Right. And saying,
and interrupt everyday living.
Right. So when you come across somebody who might be in a bad way, maybe physically and have a physical ailment that's really hard to look at, and you go, and the initial thought is,
Thought always is, Lord have mercy.
Lord mercy have on them. Yeah. Give them joy in their life and be with them and hold them tight. That's right. Yeah. That's the first thing I think about. And then the second thing I think about is, God, please help me so that I'm not in that situation. Thank you for helping me so that that doesn't happen.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
I fully get this completely. In fact, I hope doesn't sound negative, but I find myself being more thankful for the bad things that have not happened in my life than for the good things that have happened in my life. Well, and I don't know if that's a
negative. Can balance it out. Again, it's not either or.
Right.
You can do both and.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we can be grateful for so many things, including the things we don't have.
Yeah. That gets also to the heart of understanding the mystery of God as to why he allows these types of infirmities, why he allows these types of handicaps that people have to confront, these types of grief, grief that people have to live through. So
when you look at the lives of people such as Brian Anderson, the Iraqi veteran who came back from Iraq missing both legs and half an arm, and you read his testimony and you look at his life, you know, he is just glorifying God in this condition. And in the article that I read, and he also has a website, Brian is Bryan, Anderson is Son, and there's also a baseball player by that name. So if you're Googling him, put Iraqi vet. When he was being interviewed for this article, he said, the condition I'm in right now wasn't an interruption of my life or God's will for my life. This is my life. This is what God created me for. He created me so that I could glorify him. Now I'm paraphrasing him. I don't remember how he said it exactly. But he created me so that he could be glorified in me and through me. as a person missing 2.5 limbs.
So somehow he has found himself, and I cannot imagine this. I cannot.
You've got to Google it and look at it.
But you're saying he's grateful for what has happened to him?
Yes. And he's saying, this did not interrupt or disrupt my life. This is my life. This is the hand I've been dealt by God, and I accept it, and I rejoice in it. And he was a very athletic and active man before he lost those limbs, and he still is.
I just don't know how. I guess.
And this man goes snowboarding. I have all my limbs. I never want to be, you know. Yeah. But he does, and he's also a stuntman now, or wants to be. I don't know if he's accomplished it or not for Hollywood. He wants to be in movies. It's just his whole life opened up for him as a result of this, and psychologically speaking, it's the way he responded to it that has made all the difference. And he noticed that when he was in Walter Reed Hospital in Bethesda, Maryland. He saw that the people who were asking God, why me, why did this happen, and who were depressed, were not progressing. The people who just accepted what happened and kind of put on the shelf, I'll ask God later, right now my job is to get better, they were progressing and getting better and better.
It is truly, that is something that I need a real long time to sort out, how somebody could feel grateful and go through life after that kind of tragedy. And it is probably one of the most frightening thoughts that we all have.
Yeah.
Yet somehow he feels gratitude.
He feels joy. Gratitude and joy.
That's a great way to end today's show. Dede, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dede Hansen over at the Growing Place. If you want to, if you're looking for somebody to speak with about any kind of issues you have in your life, depression, marital problems, problems with the kids, Dede Hansen is a licensed marriage and family therapist over at the Growing Place. And you can contact her by calling 588-0448, 588-0448, or you can even go to their website, tgplace.org. So long, everybody. Have a good day.